back. So we started in our outdoor service looking at the first few verses in Psalm 51. There's where we talked about David pleading for God's forgiveness. Then we skipped a week. I was out of town and we had a guest speaker that day. And then last week we picked back up into Psalm 51 and then sort of carved out the beginning part of it, or the middle part rather. And that's then where we started talking about renewal. And the fact that because God had forgiven David, David now was seeking God's renewal, his restoration. Now let me pause, and we said this last week, but I want to make sure we understand the purpose of renewal is not to get us off the hook when we sin. The purpose of renewal and restoration is so that we can get back in the path that God has originally ordained for us, that we've messed up somehow, and now we're trying to get back into the center of his will. You can't do that on your own. You have to have God do that for you. And it comes with seeking forgiveness and now following through on that and now searching for the renewal and the repentance. Now, what we're going to talk about today is something that kind of is a byproduct. And it's really kind of a theological discussion. And it's, I'll give you, a little strange to talk about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving week using these verses today, because that is not really David's intent in what he writes here, but it gives us a glimpse into what God wants from us in the sense of having a thankful heart. So that's what we're going to approach today in the latter part of Psalm 51. We're going to be in verses 14 all the way down to the last one, verse 19. We're going to come back and focus on verse 15, and it's a statement that David says there that we want to sort of spend some time on, and then talk about what thankful hearts are. Now, I'm going to establish this, I hope, but as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we have a different standard of what God expects of us in Thanksgiving. I'm not talking about the holiday, and I'm not talking about turkey and dressing on Thursday. I'm talking about a thankful heart. And while the world will pause this week, at least in America, and pause this week and celebrate Thanksgiving, for you and I as believers, Thanksgiving should serve as a reminder of how we can make sure that we are living with a thankful heart. I do believe God overlays a different expectation on you and I as believers than he does lost people when it comes to living with a thankful heart. And so that's kind of the stage that we're setting today with this passage and our hope and what we'll try to accomplish as we move into the holiday this week, but also just pause a moment and be reminded of what real Thanksgiving is from a biblical standpoint, a thankful heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. I thank you really for the complexity of the passage and the effort and energy that goes into working this into our current life, because it's a passage that was written by David at the end of his sin with Bathsheba, and now he is writing essentially a prayer that begins with seeking forgiveness from you, Father, and then getting repentance and restoration, and now what happens after all that takes place? He now has an ability to worship you and praise you because he's experienced those things. So I understand that as many churches today are talking about Thanksgiving in the sense of the holiday, we're going to do something different today. And I love the complexity of this because it forces us to look at the constant nature that you have. That as we go through life and as we read passages and as we experience our faith and the ups and downs in our world, you are a constant that has never changed. And so as we learn about you in places like this in Psalm 51 and we learn about you in other passages, you remain the same, and we must learn that. And so my prayer this morning for the believer is that you fill our heart with a true sense of what thankfulness is, what it should be, and what you're asking from us in that regard. For the lost person this morning, I think it's a little bit difficult for them out of this passage, but to understand as we mention the word grace today, that's going to sort of be the red thread that's weaved through this message. The grace of God is what they need to focus on. That God loved them so much in spite of their sin, in spite of their past, in spite of their neglect right now of you and maybe their church, you have chosen to offer forgiveness and love unconditionally to them. And that came by way of really one of the most ultimate acts of your grace, and that is what Jesus did on the cross. So, Father, with both of those things in mind, I pray that you would flood our hearts with attention this morning to focus on you and what your Spirit is trying to speak into each one of our hearts, and that we don't miss that message, whatever that may be, and that we can be forever changed because we've encountered you this morning. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to start reading, as I've said, verse 14, Psalm 51. I'm in New Living Translation today. We'll go down to verse 19. I'll make a few comments as we walk along, but try to move this as quickly as we can into kind of the meat of the message. So starting in verse 14, again, it's kind of a restating of what David's already asked for in the earlier parts of the psalm. Forgive me for shedding blood. Now, what does he mean by that? Literally, he has attempted or has been guilty of murder to cover up for his sin. Not just in this regard with Bathsheba, but in other regards as well. So, O God who saves me, he says, then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. Now that's our focal verse today. Because what he's essentially saying is, Father, you deliver me into that restoration and that renewal so that now I can find the ability to worship you without anything being held back. And you all know as believers or people who are not in a right relationship with God that oftentimes one of the earliest symptoms of not being in that right relationship is our inability to worship God in truth and in authenticity because we can't face Him because of our sin. And because of the unforgiven nature of that. What David is recognizing here is the great and heavy sin has been forgiven. I don't think David is questioning God's forgiveness here. He is questioning his ability to let go of that sin and let's call it what it is, forgive himself. See, I think that's the struggle many of us face, is we're quick to accept God's forgiveness, and we might even accept other people's forgiveness, but the struggle is that we often don't forgive ourselves. I don't know that you say that, and you come out of your prayer closet saying, well, I just can't forgive myself. No, but you continue to carry the baggage of the guilt, and you continue to carry these suitcases around with the consequences that you are bearing in your heart that is keeping you from being free of that sin, though God has forgiven you of it. You continue to carry that around. And while we'll say sometimes consequences God doesn't alleviate, the guilt should be because He's forgiven you. I'll say it this way and we'll move on. If God in heaven has the capacity to forgive you for your sin, and mind you, David has committed much greater sins than most of us would ever dream of doing, but yet God forgave him, God most certainly can forgive you. So now you can forgive yourself, and you can quit carrying around the baggage of that. That now is what David is getting to in the last part of verse 15, so that I can praise you without holding anything back, without any kind of regret, without any kind of consequences, without any kind of distractions. He goes on in verse 16 and begins to kind of change his topic somewhat, but getting back to the gist of what he's searching for. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I'd offer one. You don't want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Do you understand what he's saying? In that if we come with authenticity searching for God's forgiveness, he will always give it to us. And what he doesn't want is for you to make a transaction with him and say, well, God, because I've committed this sin, I'll give $500 to some Christmas fund. I don't know why that came to my mind. It just did. I'm not trying to encourage anybody here. Or we begin to say, well, God, because I've committed this sin, I'll come attend church for 8 weeks in a row. You know what you're doing? You now are offering what David has said God doesn't want, and that is a sacrifice. What God doesn't want is your sacrifice. What he wants is your repentant, broken, needy, demanding on his love heart. And now out of that, we begin to see God change us. Because the other becomes a transaction. Well, I've met your obligation, God, so now I've earned your forgiveness. So because I've done these A, B, C, and D, now I don't have to walk around feeling guilty, but that's not enough. Because you can't earn it. There's not a thing that you can do to garnish God's forgiveness. It's a free gift that He gives you because He loves you and because you've come with a broken heart. And I think sometimes, and I'll get off on this tangent for just a moment, some of us don't experience what David's talking about here, the restoration and renewal in our sin, because we're not coming with a broken heart. We're coming with an intellectual mind that needs something from God, so we try to make a deal with Him and getting that so that we can feel better and now walk away with that sense that we've been forgiven, but we've not been broken. See, I think one of the things you got to say about David, man, he was an up and down guy. He's a guy who knew God's heart, no question, but he is a guy that also sinned largely and mightily. But in all of that, he understood what brokenness meant. See, I think we're losing that in some sense because we become too methodical in our forgiveness and in our search for forgiveness in that, well, okay, God, forgive me, let me just move on. And we've lost the brokenness. And so out of time, that has built up kind of a callousness. And we don't experience the worship of God with pure authenticity because we have all of this baggage and scars that keep us from being able to worship Him in the way that David is designed here or talking about. Verse 18, look with favor on Zion and help her. He's talking about Israel here. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That's his immediate responsibility is the king. Verse 19, then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit. Now, he's not saying the sacrifices were wrong for Israel under the Old Testament law, but what he was saying is it was being done for the wrong reasons. They were making transactions. So all of the things that I've just said, man, attending church, I hope it's more than 8 times in a row. Giving to needy funds, I hope you do that without any kind of expectation in return. But now what you begin to do is you understand that because of the restoration and the repentance, and now the joy, as we'll talk about today, the thankfulness that is returned, you now can do those things with the right heart. Those things in and of themselves are not bad. But when we're using them to somehow appease God, they become bad. Or they become something they're not meant to be. That's the whole point that David is trying to make here. Well, we're going to jump off here, and we're going to go back to verse 15 and put this, really three things that I think, two are sort of theological, and the last is sort of a practical application of what we're going to talk about. Now remember, we're choosing to define what David says in verse 15 about praising the Lord. I said it in my opening prayer, is that thankfulness, having a thankful heart, is part of our worship, right? Now let's just review for a moment before we go any further. And this is just for many of you who've heard this 1,000 times and just need to get reoriented into what we're thinking this morning. Worship is defined as this. It's putting God in His proper place, amen? And us being reminded of how much in desperate need we are of Him. That can happen in a lot of different ways than on Sunday morning when we're led by our great praise band. It happens all day, every day, in every aspect of our life, constantly putting God back in His proper place. That's in essence what worship is. So a part of that has to be thankfulness. And I know we're in the season of Thanksgiving, and maybe it's a cheap trick to use this sermon in this season, and I'm jumping off into the idea of what real thankfulness should be, but yet it's a season in which we're all having this sort of conversation about Thanksgiving. And what my prayer is for us as believers, that we walk into Thursday, walk into next week, walk into the end of this year and into next year, understanding what God expects from our hearts in regard to being thankful and truly thankful. Not just a meal on Thursdays once a year, but a heart that now is pouring out in worship because we're truly recognizing how thankful we should be for God. That's kind of our approach. Number one thing that happens with Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving begins with grace. Now again, we're using the term Thanksgiving, but what we mean is a thankful heart. So true Thanksgiving, we're giving thanks to God, begins with grace. Now I already said that grace would be a common denominator webbed all the way through this message. You can't have what God did on the cross. You can't experience the work of God without understanding grace. Now, this is where we're going to get a little theological. So let's go back one more. Love. We all understand to some degree that God loves us. And I don't know that we can fully grasp that. I've said that before. But God's love is part of his character. He can't act in any other way but to love you more than you can ever imagine, and certainly love you more than you can love yourself, right? Now, that is sort of this abstract, philosophical, theological fact that describes God to us. Here's the way you understand that, is the word grace. Grace, if love is God's character, then grace is God's handiwork. Amen. And grace is that you get what you don't deserve because you have a God that loves you more than you can ever comprehend. And so when we talked about in the prayer a moment ago about the idea of that God's ultimate act of grace for you and I, his handiwork, was sending Christ on the cross to offer forgiveness and not just to let you off the hook, but to wipe away your sin as far as the east is from the west. It's one of the greatest examples of God's grace. But you experience God's grace every single day. The fact that you get up and have another day of breathing and living your life, that's a grace act of God. The fact that he doesn't give you what you deserve in the sense of punishment because of your sin, that's a grace act of God that is born out of his love for you. So when we begin to talk about having a thankful heart, it always has to begin with grace. I said a moment ago, taking stock of all the things that you could be thankful for this year. That's what I like to do this season, is to kind of just kind of go through. Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that, and naming those things, just not that God doesn't already know those, but so that I can be reminded of all of the things that I've experienced in God's faith journey with me over these last few months or even year, and being thankful for those, and now letting that set me free and experience the joy, not being worried or anxious about what's going to happen next year, or the decision that we've got to make next week, but for the moment, being able with that thankful heart to give thanksgiving. We say that term, but you understand what it means. We're giving thanks to something. Now, we're not saying we're giving thanks to the pilgrims. We're giving thanks to a God who is sovereign and on his throne, who loves you more than you can ever imagine, and his grace is at work in every place in your life, whether you realize it or not. So thankfulness has to start with understanding to some degree the grace of God and always carrying that in the forward front of it and realizing that because of God's grace, you've experienced the things that you're thankful for. I mean, some of them are very tangible. You rescued your marriage. You recovered a relationship. You got the diagnosis that you want. You got the promotion at work. That your car got fixed and didn't cost you more than you thought it was going to cost you. I mean, there are a lot of different things that we can now claim that we're thankful for. But the one that we really need to be focused on is that God is sovereign and on his throne. And all of those other things are possible because God is present and working in your life. And when we are thankful for that, now we begin to acknowledge it. And I hate to be sort of a psychologist this morning, but there are often useful reasons why we need to speak things out loud. I really believe that. Because when we hear our mouth say things, now we begin, our brain begins to do something psychologist tells us that is important. We now begin to believe it a little bit better. That's why I like praying out loud. If you ever drive next to me in the truck, now, I roll my windows up so you can't hear, but man, I'm just praying my prayers out loud. Not because I think God needs more attention from me or I need to get his attention. I need to hear those prayers because that does something in our brain. It now begins to connect. Some of you have learning styles like I do. I mean, I'm a verbal learner, not a visual learner. There's a difference. And so when I hear something, I learn it better than when I see it. And so for me, reading out loud certain things in school helps my brain trigger that. Listen, don't deny the way God's created us. We're all different and unique, but beginning to learn that hearing yourself being thankful for certain things is important for your brain to now begin to kind of connect. And I think that's part of the struggle we have between our physical and spiritual parts of our lives, is that God is in control of the spiritual, we hope, but the problem is physically we sometimes still fall into the state of sin and incompleteness because we're not merging those with the Spirit the way God wants us to. We need to be free of that. And we need to focus on being thankful, but also understanding it begins with grace. Forgiveness is what restores David's praise. And now, because he's experiencing that restoration, his worship, as we're calling praise here, his worship now begins to rekindle his gratitude. And you see that in some sense of what he writes here, and even after this, in some of the things that David says in his writings and he does. Number two is this. Second sort of theological fact. So first one was thanksgiving begins with grace. That's a theological truth, but it now begins to make sense for us. Number two is thanksgiving requires God's help. Now again, what we mean here is a thankful heart requires God's presence. It requires God's help. Because you and I are sinners. If we're left alone, then the physical struggles in our life now begin to dominate, and we don't have the ability to fully grasp what a thankful heart is outside of God. Thus, maybe the reason God brought you here this morning. Whether you're here, or maybe you're listening to this, or you'll watch it on the live stream later, God may have wanted you to hear his truth out of Psalm 51 so that now you begin to recognize that true thankful hearts come from God and nowhere else. Because the world's view of thankfulness is different from what God's biblical view of thankfulness should be. Thankfulness is, hey, thanks for doing that. That's not the biblical one. The biblical one is not just an acknowledgement of what has happened, but now an effort to begin to live out because of that. And now begin to live in a way that shows gratefulness in what God has done. He's saved you from a medical crisis. Well, that's not just a click the box and be done with it. That now begins to change you. It should, because now the next time you face a crisis like that, you have the certainty and the confidence that God shows up in those things. And whether next time he answers it the way he did this past time makes no difference. You're thankful because God is involved in your life. And if, let's go to this car thing. If the car repair is more than you can handle, then guess what? God's going to bring a blessing to be able to help you cover that. Why is that? Because God is God, and he's present, and he does the things he says out of his love that now translates into grace acts to take care of you. And maybe part of the whole thing is you just learning to be thankful even in the midst of chaos and struggle. Being thankful that even though God didn't answer it the way I wanted, he still answered it and he's doing the things that he says he's going to do. And learning to kind of reframe that and think through that and understand that. Listen, we've got to understand that true biblical believer-style thankful hearts come because of God's help. And every single day we're learning to be more thankful and frame that thanksgiving, that thankfulness into actions that now begin to build up what God is doing in our life and those around us. So those are the two kind of theological grounding points. It begins with grace and it requires God's help. Very theological, but very important. Number three, and our last one, and you'll see how this makes sense. So if we understand thankful hearts begins with grace and it's because of God's help, now we begin to see the action of this. Look at number three. Thankfulness or thanksgiving leads to witness. Now, before you judge that, I don't mean necessarily witness in the sense that you're going to go out with a track involving the four spiritual laws and you're going to go out trying to save three people this afternoon. That's not really what we mean by witness. I think probably a better term, now that I think about it, would be that you now have a testimony. Does that make it sound a little bit easier to understand? It's the witness. Now, in legal terms, when you have a court case and you have a witness come in, what are they testifying to? What they saw or experienced, not necessarily what they believe, but what they saw, right? So take that now, and as you've experienced things in your life that now cause you with joy to have a thankful heart, now you must proclaim that. You must testify to that. And that's why David writes this whole psalm. I don't think David and his therapist told him to write Psalm 51 here, okay? David did it at the prompting of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knew that David had a testimony about how he experienced forgiveness restoration and repentance, and now joy, the ability to praise God. And that testimony needed to be recorded so it could be shared for generations, for thousands of years, actually, closer to 4,000 years. And so that testimony now becomes an instrument God uses. Listen, your testimony is no less important than David's. And what God has done and what he is doing and how he has blessed you and the things, even sometimes that we might think God didn't do, but yet we struggle with that, but we learn from that. All of those things we're experiencing a thankful heart in. Now we begin to live it that way outwardly so people can see and understand God's greatness. It's not about what God did necessarily last week to save you from that. It's about the just perpetual love that God has for you that leads to all of these grace acts that he does in your life. And just over and over and over again. And so the challenge is that we now begin to be that witness, that testimony, that testifier to God's ability to do those things. Now, I do think the lost world needs to know that. And as I shared in my opening prayer, I think there's a little bit of a struggle for a lost person to be able to get past real quickly their lostness and the circumstance of that and now begin to understand how to be thankful. Because I don't know that outside of a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that anyone outside of being a believer can fully grasp what a godly, thankful heart should be. Okay? We can see it. We might be able to describe it. We might be able to somewhat experience it, but we can't really grasp it or do it because we're not a believer. So it's a little bit of a stretch for them. But for us as believers, we understand the importance of that, and now that begins to become a witness to them. Because what they see is the certainty that we believe these things are happening in our lives, and who gets credit for it, and why God we see doing those things, because he loves us. And out of his love, he is acting gracefully in our lives, not giving us what we deserve, but what he wants us to have because he loves us. And when we don't get the things that we think we need, it's because God knows better. And so we're constantly pointing people toward him. Don't you think that's what David did after this? He becomes a testifier of not just God's capacity to forgive and redeem and renew and offer joy in David's life, but he now becomes a testifier of God's greatness. And many in the world sometimes will see God as this great judging thing, but yet there's a loving side of God as well. And that's where you and I come in to now begin to tell that story. Now, the lost world needs to hear that. That's my point. But secondly, other believers need to be encouraged by that. Because we live in a community together of believers that we call this church. And now what God is doing through you might just be the thing that someone next to you needs to hear and experience to give them confidence and the ability to celebrate and maybe understand what God is doing in their life. See how that works? And so now we're affirming one another as we're affirming and putting people's eyes focused on God. It's an important thing. And it's part of the fabric of what we believe the work of the church is that we now begin to prop up one another and encourage one another and walk alongside one another. And the means to be able to do that is knowing what God is doing in our life and sharing that with those around us. Just like we receive those blessings when other people have those things happen in their lives. Listen, here's Thursday coming. And there's a lot of different things that go on in different families for celebrations of Thanksgiving. But for us as believers, this should be a time of spiritual reflection so that we can make sure that we're in the right place to experience thankfulness in a way that honors God and is consistent with what he commands out of Scripture, this passage and many others, but this passage as well. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of your presence. Thank you for this passage, and as we've walked through Psalm 51, really from beginning to end now, I pray in each one of those that you use those in some way to kind of fortify our lives from maybe the fact that we need forgiveness, we need to experience that true forgiveness in our life, and maybe there are things holding us back in that, to now beginning to understand repentance and renewal. and that your desire is to renew us into a right relationship and being able to alleviate all of the baggage of sin weight that we carry around on our own, even in spite of you forgiving us. To this one finally today, to be able to worship you in truth and spirit with a thankful heart being part of that, so that we can experience the joy of our relationship with you and understanding all of the dynamics that go on and having that thankful heart, all in an effort to sort of diagnose ourselves. If we're not experiencing the ability to be truly thankful to you for all that's happening, we must now begin to kind of inquire into that and dig deep and go in to figure out what's happening in our life that's keeping us from doing that. Now, I pray, as always, that your Holy Spirit leads us in that and gives us clarity and open-mindedness and just the ability to focus in on what you're leading us to kind of figure out why we're not experiencing the joy that David is seeking here and that we all should have every single day. And thankfulness is part of that. So God, I pray for that. I pray for the lost person who may be here or may be watching this that have come to terms through the work of your Holy Spirit that they are thankful that Jesus went to the cross. And that's their first step into salvation, is to acknowledge that. And we would love for them to come down during our time of response, get them connected with somebody that can further explain what that means, and help them come to know who Jesus Christ is as their Lord and Savior, and begin this journey of faith walk that we talk about. Now, if they're home or somewhere else, we pray they would reach out to somebody who's a believer, or maybe call the church if they don't know anybody, and we'll put them into connection so we can help them figure this out and get to that point to where they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. For the rest of us, Father, it may just be a journey in just asking you to forgive us for not being able to have that thankful heart that we should, letting certain distractions and events and other things in our life rob us of being thankful and thinking that's okay until you've interacted with us this morning to tell us that that's not okay. And that we need to seek you and be thankful in all things, irregardless of the nature of those things, because you are sovereign and on your throne, and truly learning to worship you and have that joy despite what the fallen world throws at us. God, help us as believers to be refreshed by the knowledge of knowing that we have you who is sovereign and on our throne. God, we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of response?